Hello? Hello? Hello?
Poslušamo projekt Trivia Records, zapisi, ki je na vrste arhivska postaja, situirana na serverju Ljudmile, ni pa seveda neposredno vezana, pogojena z tem serverjem. Je nekako samo iniciativna akcija kreiranja arhivskega območja za projekte, ki jih v glavnem izvajava Mojca Pungarčar in Borut Savski. In seveda za najne projekte v preteklosti in za najna sodelovanja. V glavnem zavedava se, da obstajajo cela vrsta možnosti tako imenovanih javnih arhivov, od YouTube-a do archive.org. No, jaz sam osebno mislim, da je potrebno poskrbeti prvenstveno za produkcijska sredstva, spravo, da imaš sam možnost operiranja s strojem, sam možnost načina prezentiranja, v drugi fazi pa seveda lahko zadevo dupliraš ali dupliciraš, kopiraš tudi na katerkoli teh javnih arhivov. No vem, en je mogoče tudi strah, da zadev v javnih arhivih niso toliko zavarovane oziroma toliko stabilne, še posebej, kadar je govora v internetu, da bi človek, ne vem, si delal spomenik, ne, in arhivi v principu so spomeniki, ne, to se ni treba nič kaj bat. In zato pač poskrbimo, ali pa jaz si želim poskrbeti, da je zadeva malo bolj stabilna. Ne, in za stabilnost seveda v tem hitrem času lahko poskrbim še najbolj sam. Poslušamo 5 ali pa 4 primerke, rečemo, poslušamo 4 primerke iz produkcije Ministrstva za eksperiment, ki je bila iniciativa na Radiu Študent, tam nekje med leti 97 in 2000. Tako simbolno se je najmočnejš začela leta 97 s projektom Extended Live Radio. Vmes smo 4 taki trdni člani ali pa ustanovitelji počela različne stvari, do leta 2000 so ostala le še 2, Marko Košnik in jaz in Borut Savski, ki sem potem še pred letom 2000 odnehal sodelovanjem pri Ministrstvu za eksperiment. Šlo je za osebne spore, niti ne za drugačne vidike. Po moje je cela psihodinamika pač zahtevala davk na ravni osebnih odnosov. Tako da je za zaključek poskrbel Marek Košnik z festivalom Hexpo, ki je verjetno ostal marsikomu v spominu. Primeri produkcije so stilsko še najbolj podobni živim improvizacijam z instrumentarjem, ki je na voljo. Nastajali so v med seboj razmaknjenih produkcijskih prostorih, nekateri vezani na žive dogodke tudi v fizičnih lokacijah, galerijah ali kakšnih drugih socialnih centrih.
I'm really working a lot with computers and spend too much time here in front of the screen, but ISD and this chat room is really a field which is not familiar to me. I don't use it that much often, probably also because I don't speak and write English that well. And yeah, it's like a dirty bar, you know it, it's somewhere around, but you're not often there, and yeah, yeah, it's totally strange to me, but here is a side channel to coordinate the things, it's
tekom kasnejših let se je marsikaj in tudi dosti pogosto dogajal na valovih Radija Študent, s tem, da se recimo povezovanje z Berlinom, z Gracom, kjer smo najdeli zelo zanimive kolege, z Hamburgom, ne, se mi zdi, v enem primeru z Moskvo, v večjih primerih z Rigo, ki je bila tudi ena zanimiva skupina. V glavnem, tako rekoč, dost kondenzirano dogajanje, ne, bi lahko temu rekel. Te občasna srečanja, ki smo jih počeli na Radio Študent, potežno v popolnočnih urah, včasih tudi malo bolj zgodaj, sem nastavil kot ene vrste sessions, ne, se pravi srečanja ali pa skupni trenutki, ki tacga, so bili v veliki meri improvizirani. Nekaj je bilo noter govor, glavno take sestavljanke, malo teatra, malo igranja muzike, DJ-anja, kaj se dogajalo na teh skrajnih lokacijah, niti ni jasno, v glavnem zadeve so bile bolj uspešne, če se je del tega živega, ne, se pravi povezovanje eventov. Ne. No, na Radio Študent je to pač ponovat ni bil slučaj, ampak je šlo bolj za pozornost v dajem trenutku. Ne. In en od večjih problemov, ki se takrat kazal in ki je po mojem prisoten še danes, je to, kako kaj producirati brez tega pogleda drugega oziroma brez te fantomske publike, ne, fantomska je bila, ker ni bila očitno prisotna, ne, v zavesti pa je seveda bila prisotna, ne. Recimo, zdaj, ko delam določen stvari v prostoru cirkulacija 2 v Rogu, se dosti zgodi, da je publike bolj za ščepec, ne, in potem je treba najdeti nekak vsejen motiv, da stvari pelješ, ne, zato ker dejavniki, ne, tisti aktivni dejavniki pa so prisotni, ne, in potem recimo motivacija, sama motivacija na tem nivoju je en mehanizem, ki ga je treba nekako aktivirati in spoznati. Spravi, tudi na tem nivoju smo se mi učili iz teh situacij. Zelo zanimivo je bilo, ko smo se začeli nekako pomikati tudi po fizičnem prostoru, ne, tem sicer dost oskem mednarodnem fizičnem prostoru, različna srečanja so se počas zgodila, ne, če na začetku kdo potval še tako iz osebnega interesa, je potem to v zelo kratkem času postajal en tak umetniški žanr teh mrežnih povezav in nekak output je bil že zelo hiter predvidljiv, tako da leta 98 se mi zdi, da smo že sodelovali tudi v okviru enega projekta na festivalu Ars Electronica v Lincu, ki je izvenel bolj tako. Sicer bila zanimiva izkušnja, krati pa nekako tudi uprizarjanje dogodka, nekaj, kar je prej imel smisla ali pa tako polovični smisel, potem dobil en zunanji smisel, kar pa marsikoga od nas ni več zadovoljili. V glavnem, kar naenkrat je zadeva začenjala postajati umetniški žanr in kot tak izprazen kakšnih prejšnjih bolj socialnih motivov ali pa ne, če temu rečemo tudi civilizacijskih motivov, namreč po drugačnih načinih združevanja, po kreativnejših principih v produkciji in tako naprej. Thank you.
end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Croissant Antoine, a vessel whose landing coincided with the most amazing outbreak of the plague in that city's memory, Saint-Denis, the Viceroy of Sardinia, whose reduced monarchical responsibilities had perhaps sensitized him to the most pernicious of biases, had been particularly depicting green. He saw himself infected by the plague, his dream was rapidly in the pool of his tiny death. Beneath us, of course, all social forms disintegrate, all the collapses. He observes every infringement of morality, every psychological disaster. He hears his body fluids murmuring within him. Tall, failing in a dizzying collapse of tissue, his organs grow heavy and gradually turn to carbon. But is it too late to avert the scourge? Even destroyed, even mutilated, organically pulverized and consumed to his very marrow, he knows we do not die in our dreams, that our will operates even in absurdity, even in negation of possibility, even in the transformation of lies from which truth can be remade. He wakes up. All these rumors about the plague, these miasmas of the virus from the Orient, he will now know how to keep them away. One night, at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Croissant Antoine, a vessel whose landing coincided with the most amazing outbreak of the plague in that city's memory, Saint-Denis, the Viceroy of Sardinia, whose reduced monarchical responsibilities had perhaps sensitized him to the most pernicious of biases, had been particularly depicting green. He saw himself infected by the plague, his dream was rapidly in the pool of his tiny state. Beneath us, of course, all social forms disintegrate, all the collapses. He observes every infringement of morality, every psychological disaster. He hears his body fluids murmuring within him. Tall, failing in a dizzying collapse of tissue,
1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, one night he saw himself infected by the plague, beginning of May, infected by the plague, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille. He saw himself infected by the plague, one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, he's infected by the plague, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille. He saw himself infected by the plague, one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, he's infected by the plague, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille. He saw himself infected by the plague, one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, he's infected by the plague, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille. Even the transport himself one night in the end of April, he wakes up. He's operated by the plague, between the plague and the age of the lies, even the transformation of the lies. One night in the end of April, he hears his body fluids murmuring within him. Torn, failing in a dizzying collapse, wakes up.
He hears his body fluids murmuring within him.
Torn, failing in a dizzying collapse of tissue, 1720. He hears his body fluids murmuring with say, he saw himself infected by the plague, one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille, the transmutation of the lies from which truth can be remade. He wakes up, or operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility, even in the transmutation of the lies from which truth can be remade. He wakes up. all operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility, even in the transmutation of the lies from which truth can be remade. He wakes up. 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 About the plague. These Nayas. He wakes up. All these rumors about the dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation not die in our dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility. Even in the transmutation not die in our dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility. Even in the transmutation not die in our dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility. Even in the transmutation not die in our dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility. Even in the transmutation not die in our dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility. Even in the transmutation not die in our dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility. Even in the transmutation not die in our dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility. Even in the transmutation not die in our dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility. Even in the transmutation not die in our dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity. Void, even annihilated, organically pulverized and consumed to his very marrow. Infringement of morality, every psychological disaster. He hears his body fluids murmuring within him. Torn, failing in a dizzying collapse of tissue, his organs grow heavy and gradually turn to carbon. But is it too late to avert the scourge? Even destroyed, even annihilated, organically pulverized and consumed to his very marrow. Now he only that even destroyed and collapsed, annihilated, organically...
...of the Grand Saint Antoine? One night at the end of 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille, he saw himself infected by the plague. One night at the end of 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille, he saw himself infected by the plague. One night at the end of 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine. One night at the end of 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine. One night at the end of 1720, about 20 days before. Saint Antoine, one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720. About 20 days later, collapse tissue, the organs grow heavy. One night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720. Even the organs collapse tissue, organic pulverized, consumed to his very mouth. He knows we do not die in our dreams. That our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility, even in the transmutation of the lives from which truth can be remade. He wakes up.
His organs at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, a vessel whose landing coincided with the most amazing outbreak of the plague in that city's memory, Saint-Rémy, the viceroy of Sardinia, whose reduced monarchical responsibilities had perhaps sensitized him to the most pernicious of viruses, had a particularly afflicting dream. He saw himself infected by the plague he dreamed was ravaging the whole of his tiny state. Beneath such a scourge, all social forms disintegrate. Order collapses. He observes every infringement of morality, every psychological disaster. He hears his body fluids murmuring within him. Torn, failing in a dizzying collapse of tissue, his organs grow heavy and gradually turn to carbon. But it is too late to avert this scourge. Even destroyed, even annihilated, organically pulverized and consumed his very marrow. He knows we do not die in our dreams.
that our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility. Even in the transmutation of the lies from which truth can be remade. He wakes up. All these rumors about the plague, these miasmas of the virus from the Orient, he will now know how to keep them away. One night, it was 10th of April, or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, a Russian landing coincided with the most amazing outbreak of the plague in that city's memory. Saint-Denis, the Viceroy of Sardinia, whose reduced monarchical responsibilities had perhaps sensitized him to the most pernicious of viruses, had a particularly afflicting dream. He saw himself infected by the plague, his dream was ravaging the whole of his time and place. Beneath us, of course, also one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at the
state of the Grand
Saint Antoine, the Russian climbing coincided with the most amazing outbreak of the plague in that city's memory. Saint-Denis, the Viceroy of Sardinia, whose reduced monarchical responsibilities had perhaps sensitized him to the most pernicious of viruses, had a particularly afflicting dream. He saw himself infected by the plague, his dream was ravaging the whole of his time and place. Beneath us, of course, also one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, a vessel whose landing coincided with the most amazing outbreak of the plague in that city's memory. The Viceroy of Sardinia, whose reduced monarchical responsibilities had perhaps sensitized him to the most pernicious of viruses, had a dream. He saw himself infected by the plague, his dream was ravaging the whole of his time and state. Beneath us, of course, also one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, a vessel whose landing coincided with the most amazing outbreak of the plague in that city's memory. The Viceroy of Sardinia, whose reduced monarchical responsibilities had perhaps sensitized him to the most pernicious of viruses, had a particularly afflicting dream. He saw himself infected by the plague, dream was ravaging the whole of his time and state. Beneath us, of course, also one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, a vessel whose landing coincided with the most amazing outbreak of the plague in that city's memory. The Viceroy of Sardinia, whose reduced monarchical responsibilities had perhaps sensitized him to the most pernicious of viruses, had a particularly afflicting dream. He saw himself infected by the plague, his dream was ravaging the whole of his time and state. Beneath us, of course, also one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, 1720, about 20 days before the arrival at Marseille of the Grand Saint Antoine, a vessel whose landing coincided with the most amazing outbreak of the plague in that city's memory. The Viceroy of Sardinia, whose reduced monarchical responsibilities had perhaps sensitized him to the most pernicious of viruses, had a particularly afflicting dream. He saw himself infected by the plague, his dream was ravaging the whole of his time and state. Beneath us, of course, also one night at the end of April or the beginning of May, days before the arrival of the safe of the Cosmic One. Vessel proclaiming the sight of the most amazing outbreak of the plague in the Exodus memory. Spending it. Viceroy of Virginia, who produced the logical responsibility that perhaps stems in nicely to the most in the case of viruses. And a particularly predictive dream. Thank you.
Jesus. He observes every twinkling of morality, every psychological disaster. He hears his body voice murmuring within him. Torn, failing, and dizzying collapse of tissue, his organs grow heavy, gradually turn to powder. But is it too late to avert this watch? Even destroyed, even annihilated, organically pulverized and consumed to this very now, he knows we will not die in our dreams, that our will operates even in certainty, even in the negation of possibility, even in the transmutation of the lies to which truth can be related. He wakes up. All these rumors about the plague, these miasmas of the virus from the Orient, he will now know how to keep it in prayer. About 20 days in the arrival of the safe, the Continental Fund, a vessel will land from Saigon with the most significant outbreak of the plague in Latin history, Sardinia. The Viceroy of Sardinia has reduced the number of force possibilities to step up and sensitize him for the most new case of viruses, and particularly the Egyptian Greek. He saw himself infected by the plague, and the dream was ravaging to all of his tiny states. He saw himself in pain of the scorch, all social forms disintegrate, all the collapses. He observes every infringement of morality, every psychological disaster. He hears his body fluids murmuring within him. Torn, failing, and dizzying collapse of tissue, his organs grow heavy and gradually turn to powder. But is it too late to avert this torch? Even destroyed, even annihilated, organically pulverized and consumed to this very marrow, he knows we do not die in our dreams, that our will operates even in absurdity, even in the negation of possibility, even in the transmutation of the lies in which truth can be renewed.